Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got Norm Brodsky back on the show. Norm is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is an entrepreneur's entrepreneur. Now, what I mean by that is he's not only been successful in the marketplace with his own businesses, but he's been writing about and talking about his formula and his take on how to become a better entrepreneur, better as a small business owner, better at following your entrepreneurial dreams. He's been doing that for a long time now, in addition to running his businesses. And he's, as many of you know, he's a senior editor at contributing editor at Inc. Magazine. He's the author of an outstanding book called The Knack, How Street Smart Entrepreneurs Learn to Handle Whatever Comes Up. And he's our good friend, Norm Brodsky. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Great to be here.
It's good to have you back. Norm, one of the things that I'd like for you to talk a little bit about something with me. One of the things that I've been talking to my audiences quite a bit about, especially the ones I've talked to my radio audience about this, but especially face to face when I give speeches. And that is what I call the small business odd couple. You know all about the odd couple, Felix and Oscar, right?
Of course.
Well, I say that the small business odd couple is challenges and opportunities. You know, if you remember, you never saw an episode of The Odd Couple on television without having both Felix and Oscar there. To my knowledge, I never saw one without the other in one of the episodes. And isn't that the case in a small business? Aren't you, even when things are going great, aren't you always going to have a challenge? Even when the opportunities are coming out your ears, there's still going to be challenges. And so my point I wanted you to address, isn't the key to success in small business learning how to manage that relationship between challenges and opportunities?
It is, because, you know, when you first start out in business, you don't know what to do. You know, there is not too many opportunities. So you grab one, and then when you're in business, you see thousands and thousands of opportunities. It's the most amazing thing. And what most people don't understand, especially in the beginning, they got to stay somewhat focused and only take an opportunity or two, not five or six. A lot of people fail because of that. They don't know how to have that proper balance that's going on.
They don't know how to stick to their knitting, do they?
They don't.
Well, first, they don't know what their knitting is, and then they don't know how to stick to it.
Exactly. And they say, oh, look, that looks great. Let's jump over there. Instead of fully taking their idea to fruition and making it great, it's like half great, and then they half great do something else, and before they wake up, they're in trouble.
Yeah. I'll tell you, that was a really important thing for me to do back in the 90s when I had a few moments like that where I, you know, in the beginning, as you say, you're just trying to make a living probably. You know, a lot of small business owners got started because they didn't have a job and they had to do something. And so they would do whatever it took. And they thought that was the key to success. And then they found out that, wait a minute, I've been doing these 10 things, but I'm only good at two of them.
Yeah, well, you know, here's the problem. And I went through it too, Jim. I have to tell you, I'm a very smart guy. Now, smart is not necessarily good, because smart people learn from their own mistakes. Wise people learn from the mistake of others.
Yeah.
So when I say I'm smart, I don't think that's very good to be. But I have to learn through my own mistakes. And I jump from idea to idea, and it all came crashing down for me in the 80s, where I took a business from zero to $120 million, and then back to zero.
Wow.
And I learned a great lesson from that.
Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is when a man tells you about a failure of that level, you know, he's landed out in a very courageous and honest way. You need to listen to whatever he says. Go ahead.
Well, you know, and so it collapsed, and that separates.
Why did it collapse? What happened?
Well, because of the fact that, you know, I could have blamed it on a stock market crash in 1987. I could have blamed it on the advent of the fax machine because I was in the delivery business.
Yeah.
But I learned a lesson from my 12-year-old daughter who told me, this failed, Dad, because you were in charge.
Uh-oh.
And once I understood that I was in charge, I was able to look at why it failed.
Ouch.
And it basically failed because of the fact that I jumped at every new opportunity and didn't concentrate on what I was good at. And so, therefore, when I started all over in 1987 again to build a business, mm-hmm. you know, I just sold for a fortune.
Right.
I concentrated. I stuck to my knitting.
Yeah.
I built that business into something that was great. Sure, I took maybe one other opportunity, but I focused in on what I knew.
Norm, hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break, folks. Good stuff from Norm Brodsky. I'm Jim Blassingame. It's 22. I promise we'll be right back.
Won't you come away with me? Oh, oh, we are flying high.
Welcome back, 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business. Don't forget to take our poll question, which is right there on the homepage. It's really easy. This week is just two options. You read the question, answer one of the two, and submit it, and we'll keep you posted on what the results are. We do this every week. And you can find that also in my newsletter, which we'll send you every Sunday afternoon, and the results are there as well. So check all that out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. You can read, listen, ask questions, lots of stuff there. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Norm Brodsky is our guest, B-R-O-D-S-K-Y. Norm is the author of The Knack. He's a serial entrepreneur and has been very successful. And when Norm speaks, I listen. And I recommend that you do the same thing. Norm, we were talking about some of the challenges and opportunities that small business owners face. And sometimes, in order to turn challenges into opportunities, sometimes there's a failure in the middle of that, isn't there?
Yeah, you know, I learned a long time ago that most of us, Jim, have had a failure in our life, and a lot of people are afraid to talk about them. But I think it's important that you do that.
Yeah.
You know, once I was sitting down with a banker after I went through that bankruptcy, and he said, well, tell me what else you did. And I was a little hesitant, but I told him about the failure, and he says, you know, we're going to give you the loan. And I said, why? He says, you've already been through a failure. He says, you know what it's like. You stuck it out. I was amazed.
I'll be darned.
So don't cut out your failures in your resume.
You know, one of the things that I've appreciated about all the entrepreneurs that I've had on my show over the last dozen years has been their willingness to talk about failures. Now, granted, typically, if they were on my show, they'd already overcome the failure ahead, and they were here because we saw something, you know, exciting and redeeming about them. But it's easier to talk about those failures when you've recovered from them. I admit that. But that's one of the things that I like about entrepreneurs is we'll talk about our failures, and that's good information, isn't it?
It certainly is. But the only caveat that I add to that, Jim, is, like my 12-year-old said, you have to take responsibility, because if you don't, you're destined to repeat the same failure over and over. I call it the Groundhog's Day syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, where you do things over and over and over again. So not only admitting it, but telling people about it, you know, it becomes a positive. You can take that negative and turn it into a positive.
Well, you're right about that. I mean, if you're willing to say, this is, you know, I messed up, I did this wrong, that's a healing process, isn't it? That starts when you can claim your failures. You start the redemption process right there, don't you?
You certainly do, and it's important.
It's important to redeem yourself, isn't it?
It is, because, you know, it won't stop you from into your next venture. You know, you'll say, okay, here's what I did wrong. It's my responsibility. I'm not going to do that again. And I've learned so many lessons from that failure.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Well, you know, there are a couple of things that I like to point out that to me, and they're just words, but if you say them, if you remember them, it really will help. And one of them is asking yourself, okay, what did I learn?
Exactly.
And also, you say that to your people when they fail, because they will fail. And the other thing is something that's a variation of what Thomas Edison said 100 plus years ago. He said, failure is successfully identifying what doesn't work.
No truer words.
Yeah. And those are redemptive words, aren't they?
They are. I just want to digress a little bit where we talked about opportunities. you know, in today's environment, that's a very tough environment, I don't want to be negative. There's plenty of opportunities out there. As a matter of fact, I think now is the best time to start a business.
Right.
Because of what's happening in our economy. It's going to change eventually. And there's opportunities there now that didn't exist 2 years ago.
One thing about it, if you can make it now, you can, as they say in New York, you can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
I think that's correct, but there's plenty of opportunities now. And starting a business now, for those of people who aren't thinking about it, this is the time to do it. Because when you start a business, you have advantages over people who are already in business. You have a low overhead. You know, you don't have to worry about sales can double in every
right.
month because you have no sales to start.
And you don't
with.
Have any baggage. You don't have any 20th century baggage problem.
No baggage. And people are looking for a change. They're looking maybe to save a few bucks, and your overhead is less. You can offer more services.
Right.
Hopefully, the younger entrepreneurs are more technologically advanced, which is important,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're eager. So they have a lot of qualities and a lot of opportunities.
What do you say to the older entrepreneurs, people who are not so young and they've lost their job and they're thinking about a business? What do you
yeah,
think about
well, they are young entrepreneurs. I don't care what age. When you start, you're a first-time entrepreneur. You're
right.
a new entrepreneur. And I didn't mean the word young as
yeah.
an age
yeah.
sometime. I meant young as in starting a business.
Right. A shiny new entrepreneur, is that what you...
That's exactly
like,
right.
Like a new penny. Yeah.
That's right.
So what advice would you give to those people right now?
The advice right now I would give people is, if you're thinking of doing this, do all your research first. And I'm really big into research. And I don't mean the research where you go out and you hire somebody to do a market research for you.
Right.
You can do it for nothing
Shoe
yourself.
Leather.
Yeah, you know what? Lots of people like myself and you and people all over the United States, if people
yeah.
come to us and ask us for help, we give it to them.
Absolutely.
So you can
shoe
do
leather,
research.
Shoe leather and elbow grease. We're going to take a quick break. Norm Brodsky is our guest. This is real earthy entrepreneur stuff here, folks, from our good friend Norm Brodsky. He's the author of The Knack, available wherever books are sold. I'm Jim Blassingame. Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back. Let that run a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. That's one of my favorite songs from the Atlanta Rhythm Section, ARS, Do It or Die. It's got to be the small business theme song, in my opinion. I've said that many times before. Norm Brodsky is our guest. Norm is the author of The Knack. He's a columnist, famous columnist for Inc. magazine. Norm, what do you think about that song? Even when times get rough
and
you've had enough, you got to do it or die.
Yeah, that's true, though.
Isn't that a great song? I mean, doesn't that just encapsulate?
It just tells it all.
It does, doesn't it? And if you're not capable of dealing with failure, if you can't become, see, I say, Norm, that failure is the hardest mate of success.
Well, it's true, you know, and even when you have
you can't have one without the other.
That's true, but even if you have a successful business during the time from the startup to becoming a success, you have failures within that business.
Yep.
Whether it be failure to build it the right way, whether it means that you go through some really, really tough times because of mistakes you made.
But failure doesn't have to mean thermonuclear meltdown, though.
No, it doesn't have
That's
to
the key.
Mean
isn't
like
that
I
the
went
key?
Through.
Isn't that the key to understand?
Right. It doesn't have to be that. Now, it's aggravating, and it's hard to take. But the people and the men and women who are entrepreneurs, every one of them, I would say, have had some failures within the business that might turn out to be successful,
mm-hmm.
but they don't quit. You know, the hardest thing is not quitting, to keep on trudging,
yep.
even when you think it's bleak.
You know, if I were sitting, and my mentors have done this for me over the years, Norm, they didn't realize they were doing it, but my mentors, and one of them was my dad. my dad, without realizing that he did it, he was loving me enough to see him make some mistakes.
Yeah.
As a little kid, he let me see his mistakes, and that was huge. And some of my mentors, my business mentors, they didn't realize it, but they let me hang out with them when they messed up, and I saw that.
Yeah, well, when people think just because you've made a mistake, you know, things are ending, but it's not true.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that you can make a mistake. And you know, the United States, look at the stars that make mistakes.
Yeah.
The United States is a forgiving place.
We're a redemptive nation.
We sure are.
The marketplace is redemptive.
It is. And they forget about the mistakes. They don't forget about them. But what they do is they say, look what this man or woman did, and mm-hmm. look how his life or her life turned out.
Mm-hmm.
So even the famous people,
Well, and we admire people who come back from things like that.
We do.
And you know, when you were talking about once your business gets going, it's not like in the beginning. But the same thing can happen with a single customer relationship. You can fail with a relationship.
Yeah, but you know, the key to that is, and that's a really good point, Jim. The key to that is, and we've failed with lots of relationships, is to be honest to the customer.
Yeah.
Stand up there and say, I made a mistake.
It's my fault. Yeah.
It's my fault. And tell them what you're doing to correct that. Now, I won't say 100% of the time the customer will stick with you, but a good percentage of that time, that customer will come back to you and give you a second chance. But what most people do is they become ostriches. You know, they stick their head in the sand, and they figure maybe the customer won't find out, or maybe the customer will forgive them. But they won't unless you take responsibility for the act.
I'll tell you something else that's the key. This takes time to learn this, Norm. I have had scenarios where I knew I messed up. The customer hadn't come to that complete conclusion yet.
Exactly.
And I told them before they were mad at me, the maddest at me, I went to them and said, I messed up. I want to fix this. In other words, you make the phone call first. Don't wait till they make the phone call.
I think that's the most important thing we talked about this morning.
Yeah.
Is that take that responsibility, even if the people don't know about it.
Yeah.
And they look at you in a different light. And I think that's really important.
It's amazing how much better life is if you make the phone call first. And it's the same thing with your banker, isn't it, Norm?
It certainly is.
You need to call your banker when you got problems, because don't wait for them.
If you're going to anticipate you have a problem with your financial statements, you should go to the bank first. Prepare them for doing that.
Yeah. Hey, Norm, how can we find you online?
You can go to inc.com. where I maintain a blog and have a question and answer.
And your book is available wherever books are sold.
And books are sold and Reed Inc. magazine.
All right, so check it out. Norm, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thanks, Jim.
Norm Brodsky, ladies and gentlemen, one of the oracles of the marketplace. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with me. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.